Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt in Houston for the next few days for one of his daughter's birthdays. We got Peyton Phillip Russell firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for turning it on and leaving it on DFW Sports Station. And you know, basically every day for 2 weeks, we're bringing you the very latest more than anyone else right here at 6 o'clock. And it starts off with Will McClay getting his multi-year contract extension to stay in Frisco.
Yes, sir, to stay. And that's huge because this has been seemingly the stabilizing force behind the organization. And
got to have someone who knows and watches football.
That's right. Yes, yes. Got to have somebody. So I think this is really, like, fantastic news. Like, because it's always been, he's going to get a job somewhere as the GM. It's just a matter of when he decides that he wants to move. I don't know if there's kids, family that are involved, that just want to take him out of DFW, but we know it's coming. We know that day's coming, right?
When you go back and look at the scoreboards for general managers, you know, you have your different charts out there. First team all pro, pro bowler selected. How do you think Will McClay stacks up?
Oh, man.
Todd Archer put out the list since 2014. 15 Pro Bowlers, 6 All-Pros through the draft. I just didn't know if you had seen other GM comparisons with the way that they've selected and picked over the years.
I haven't. So 6 All-Pros, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that's in what, 10 years?
Yeah.
60% of the drafts, you're selecting an All-Pro? I mean, that doesn't mean they're all coming from different drafts, but You average it out. That's pretty solid. There's only 2 All Pros a year at each position. Like, that's pretty dang good.
Will McClay, there's always kind of a back and forth at some points in times. Some people were telling me back when Jerry Jones told Clarence Hill, there ain't no one who could do this job better than me. I don't know if that completely sat well with Will, right, as he's sitting there saying, hey, I'm a de facto general manager in this building. We had gone up to this point in time with his contract getting ready to expire where the deal wasn't done. I don't think he really wanted to talk paperwork and cash at the Senior Bowl when Nick Harris and others were out there with him. So it always feels like we'll always get a murmur here and there that, all right, Will's tired of this. Will's done with this. Will's going to go on and be a true general manager somewhere else, and he always comes back.
He always comes back, and, you know, again, we don't know, like, the family situation, like, what he wants to do in terms of staying here or going, but obviously he is drawn to the, and there's value and comfort.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to, you know your role. When you work here, you know that, look, this is the way the organization works. Leaving an organization, going somewhere new, that can be scary. You know, it just can, because you don't know how the dynamics of every organization are going
to
work.
And you need someone to deal with Jerry and Steven.
Got to be able to do it.
Got
to
have a head coach who does it. Got to have a Will McClay who does it.
I think one of the most important parts of this job is handling Jerry as the head coach. If you're the head coach, like, coaching is obviously very, very important, but being able to manage the Jerry versus, you know, like, the noise is huge. It's almost like you need to be a head coach of two different things. You gotta be the head coach of the football team, and then you've got to be the head coach of the noise, and you've got to be able to manage both. And if you can't, you can't do this job.
Yeah, it's like that family member who's at the table, and you need them during the holidays to make sure that this side of the family is cool and that side of the family is cool, and you need to make it all work for a 2-hour meal.
Yeah.
That's what Will McClay does.
That's
what he has to do with, I think, thinking and making Jerry believe that he understands everything that's going on football-wise. You deal with the finances from Steven, and you're sitting there looking at the actual talent. Liaison.
You gotta be able to present to him why you take this player that you've never heard of over this guy that you've heard of.
Yeah.
Like that was the big problem, or the big, I think, tug of war when it came to Zach Martin versus Johnny Manziel. It's like everybody's heard of Johnny. Unless you're in the weeds, you ain't heard of Zach. We don't hear, you know, nobody knows guards.
No.
You gotta be in the weeds for that. So like you've got to be able to convince them this is why we're taking this.
Will McClay the other day at the Senior Bowl talking about his new and now long partnership with Brian Schottenheimer.
Just knowing him and being around him, knowing where he came from. I mean, a lot of the things that you've heard are very true where, you know, in this day and age in the NFL, it's the new hotshot that, you know, maybe he's been coaching 3, 4, 5 years. Well, Brian was that guy. He's got that passion. He's got that commitment. Grew up in football, can have a conversation with anyone, and an honest conversation with anyone. So his ability to do that and to connect, like in part of the interview, I watched him connect with different people in different ways, and that's a huge part of the head coaching thing that that helps push you over the top, and that you only get that from experience.
We have three more assistants added to Brian Schottenheimer's staff: Dave Borgonzi, linebackers coach Aaron Whitecotton. How do we not know that this was a last name in the National Football League?
Or in existence within the society.
Yeah. Aaron Whitecotton, defensive line coach, and Andre Curtis, defensive passing game coordinator. As for Whitecotton, he was with the Jets last 4 years as a D-line coach. He will now join the staff for Matt Eberflus. And then Broda sent over a note on Aaron saying, very good, great person, excellent at the age of 43, D-line coach. I thought that was age 43. His guys play hard. He loves personnel and will work at it. Very passionate and prideful about his work. He is intense but connected to his guys. So that's the scout report. Ryan Broda says, even doing on coaches.
You notice how the two first-time head coaches, the most recent two, that were hired, now Liam Cohen, I haven't seen who his staff is going to be.
Even
Duval. So weird.
It's going to be at every haunted house in Florida when you walk in.
Duval.
And his eyes, too.
But Schottenheimer hires Eberflus, former head coach, and Aaron Glenn hired Steve Wilks as his DC, former head coach. So both are hiring former head coaches as their coordinators. I found it interesting. I think it's good. I think you need to have somebody on your staff who's done this before.
Jordan Lewis, of course, connected to Eberflus in the past, had this to say. He runs a vision defense that's going to run to the ball and tackle. The front four are going to attack. I love the reunion. So, look, every system that comes in and every coach, everyone always loves it. Oh, I like this. Oh, yeah. And then at the end, you hear, oh, that didn't really fit the way we did things. We should have done this.
Yeah.
This person was out of place. There's always going to be somebody out of place with the system that's being run.
Always. It's always going to happen. You know, just that's the reality of a scheme. That's also the reality of if you bring something new in, you're going to have, we saw this year, when somebody was out of place almost every play in the first couple of weeks. I think Eberflus is fine. I mean, I think he's a good coach, good defensive coach. And, you know, this defense personnel-wise may have to change, but he's had a pretty good track record of success as a DC.
Sad story out of Filthy. We have our fun with the Eagle fan base and the media and everyone over there. This is a really sad story. An 18-year-old Eagles fan climbed one of those poles, like light poles, in celebration of the NFC Championship, fell, hit his head on the concrete, and passed away.
That sucks.
Temple student.
Oh, it sucks. That's really, and you know, like they were talking about, like the city of New Orleans is asking Eagles fans, hey, don't climb the telephone poles here, please. Don't climb the light poles. They're not going to grease them, but you know that, and that's why. And it, do other cities grease the light poles like Philly does?
And why is it a Philly thing to climb light? Is it to, like, try to be an eagle? Is that it?
That's a good question.
They want to fly. Yeah, they want to fly.
Trying to get up there and soar.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like you're just, I'm an animal. But this, I mean, we all did some stupid stuff. We were college kids, but this sucks.
I was just thinking about that with my kids. Like, how do you, I mean, I guess you just hold your breath.
Yep.
When your kids are growing up and you're like, I know they're going to go out and do stupid things. I did stupid things. And it's just a matter of fate and luck.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. It's a lot of it, man. Like, you know, we got, you know, Luca's starting to drive. He'll get his full license at the end of the year. And, you know, I know exactly what's going to happen. Same thing we all do. You know, let's see how we can open this up. You know, it's like, oh,
donuts.
Let's go on the highway. Yeah, no, let's go do some donuts in the parking lot. Oh, wow, there's a light pole right there. Like, you know, it's just scary.
Is he driving on the highway? Is he comfortable?
No, we haven't taken on the highway. We took him on the access road. We haven't taken him on the highway, though.
And is he comfortable so far?
Yeah, we got into a little bit of a squirrely situation. It was my fault. I was trying to teach him a trick on how to
do a flip.
No.
I worry about my kid. What are they going to do going out there? And then you got Dom Toretto teaching you.
No. It was a, I was trying to teach him how to run a red light without running the red light.
Oh, great.
And what is that trick?
So, like, you know how you're at a...
Speed up?
Yeah, right? No. It's that you're at the left turn lane, okay? And oncoming, I wanted to get him in a sticky situation where he couldn't see the cars. So you have the oncoming traffic and you're head on with the other vehicles, and it's hard to see the oncoming traffic because the other ones are stopped at their left turn lane as well.
Right.
So the light was blinking. It was one of those yellow blinking left turn lights. And I was like, all right, just creep up. Just get in the middle of the intersection. He goes, why? I go, because that way, once the thing turns red, you're already there. You just go.
Right.
You're ahead of the white line. You got to be ahead of the white line when it turns red. Otherwise, you're running the red light.
Yeah.
That's a little trick, right? They don't give you a red light, a red run at a red light if you're already ahead of the white line. So I said, do that. And he does. And the light turns red. But here's the problem. This is what wasn't planned for. We had people running the red light coming back.
Yeah, that's okay. The problem.
They were running the red light.
You have to rely on the other people stopping.
Well, usually you could tell, right? You could tell when the car starts to slow down. They weren't slowing down. I was like, no, don't go, don't go. The other light turns green. So now these people start coming into the intersection from our cross. And I was like, go. And he freaked out. And he got so nervous. He got so mad at me.
The conservative Sharif family driving class would say, just let the light go red and let the light go green. That's what my wife would say. Why are you rushing it? What are you in a rush for? Where are you trying to go? But that is not the RJ Choppy School of Driving. So, Luca, if you're listening, you can just wait for that yellow light to turn red and have the people behind you be upset.
My parents always said the world is round. You'll get there eventually. If you miss your turn, don't, you know, immediately make a U-turn and go into oncoming traffic, try and rush to get somewhere. Just ease it over. You'll get there eventually.
Oh, they were Kyrie ahead of their time.
The world is round.
Are they conservative drivers?
My mom is. My mom is, you know, if it's raining, she's the one going 60 on the highway. Yeah.
Well, 60 is not too bad. Like this morning and yesterday, like last night, that was... Was that just in my area where it was crazy thunder and
Rockwell
lightning pouring down?
Very bad.
We didn't have anything last night. We had a lot of rain this morning. Like when I woke up, it was fine. And as I let the dog out, and as soon as I'm getting put my shoes on to leave, you could hear it.
Yeah,
down on the roof. I was like, oh crap.
Sandler had called me last night, leaving a dinner in Arlington with some big Rangers TV news, and I was like, this is the weather gods have given me a gift. I'm like, Jared, get off the phone and drive safe. That was my get off the phone moment. I don't want you to get in an accident behalf talking to me on the phone. So be careful driving out there. It is rainy and wet throughout the Metroplex. The way to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line is 877-881-1053. And then one more filthy story. The 76ers finally congratulating the Eagles.
You know what? Thank God. Finally, Josh Harris, who owns... both the Sixers and the Commanders finally allowed the 76ers to congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles. Their official Twitter account says NFC champs in the house. Congrats at Eagles.
Well done.
Well done, Josh. Well done.
A little late.
A couple days late, about a half a week late.
The last thing Sixers fans need is a reason to be more upset at their organization with the Joel Embiid stat that was put up about games played and games missed. Meanwhile, he's doing handstands at practice the other day, and they just gave him that fresh extension. What a disaster. He's going to have to retire, or they're going to have to get rid of him. He cannot survive in that city. But there's Josh Harris taking off more 76ers fans because of the Commanders. We think. All right. Hit us up on the Franco LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. Hit them up if you need them today for any type of accident that hopefully does not happen out there on the roadways. What a game last night for your Dallas Mavericks, and the breaking news that has taken over the country, the plane flight and crash that may have some Olympic athletes on there. RJ Choppy stayed up an extra 3 hours for that. We'll catch you up with all of it as part of the 6 a.m. Club with Sean and RJ next.
Mavericks fourth in the league in block shots this year. Here's an assist pass. Possibly it is. Grimes. He hits bottom on a three-pointer, and PJ's tied his career high with 7 assists.
Follow it with a call on ABC. Good morning, Metroplex. What a game last night in New Orleans as the Mavericks drop 40 in the third, 40 in the fourth, an 80-point second half to outlast the Pelicans with Zion, by the way, scoring 29, and the Mavs end up winning 137 to 136. This is a sexy box score.
Oh, it really is. PJ, except for the turnovers.
Yeah, 18 turnovers. The Pelicans had 8, but PJ Washington hitting all 4 of his threes in the fourth quarter. He ends up with 25, 14, and 8. Gafford, what a trade. I was listening to KMC reminisce about last year's trade deadline. Mm-hmm. It always happens while we're at the Super Bowl. Yep. And I remember sitting here, you were to my right, Ruben is to the left, and he's like, Oh, Daniel Gafford. Oh, my gosh. PJ Washington. I was immediately impressed with Ruben's hoop knowledge. Gafford with 4 more blocks, 22, 12, and 4. Everyone in the starting lineup in double figures. Mavs win.
He's such a violent offensive player, too. I love it. This is, you know, one of the things that hit me in this one. So, when you watch a Laker game, you notice LeBron, he flies up the screen. When you watch a Warrior game, you notice Steph. When you watch a Suns, you notice KD. Like, you could watch a lot of this game, and Zion's scoring, but you don't, like, if you're not watching and pay attention to him, I would hardly notice him. You watch this through a Mavs lens, so it's like you're not necessarily paying attention to the other team. And I was like, man, I hardly notice this guy. It's like, he has 27? It was like late fourth. He has 27. I've barely noticed him tonight. I know he's scored, but like, you know, he's not flying up the screen to me. So he's not a superstar. Can't say it.
Oh, that was the.
That's the test.
That's the criteria.
That's the test. You gotta be able to pop off the screen without even knowing what you're watching.
Well, he's got that. It sounds funny to say he's got that under the rim game. Like, he's going to get a lot of putbacks. He's going to be close target, and he's obviously still capable.
Yes,
depending on the breakfast buffet that morning of putting
up a belly
crazy highlight reel dunks. He can do it, but he's not going to be bombing threes.
No,
and beating you from the perimeter where you're noticing him there by himself.
He's not flying all over the floor trying to get open. You know, he's Steph. Steph is constant movement. Right, constant movement. Klay was constant movement too, you know, in his younger days. But I don't know. It was one of the takeaways.
Klay Thompson with 20 points on 6 threes. The Mavericks still over 500, 26-22. And when you look at the Western Conference, they are in the number 8 spot. They're a game up on the Phoenix Suns. They're a half a game behind the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's OKC up by 5 on Houston. What a turnaround! What a turnaround for that organization. The armpit second in the West. Then Memphis with their bounce back. Denver, Lakers, Clippers, Wolves, us, Suns, Kings. One game over. And the Sacramento Kings are in the news because of De'Aaron Fox, the electric player who apparently is on the trade block. And yesterday, Shams reported, you want something scary for the rest of the Western Conference? Mm-hmm. Did you see this? His number one destination, his pick?
I didn't see his pick, no. Phoenix?
The San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, wow.
De'Aaron Fox looking to team up with Wemby, who got a little heated last night himself. But that's the word from Shams out of Sacramento.
Isn't he the reason why Vlade didn't take Luka? Because they had De'Aaron Fox already?
Did they? Or is De'Aaron Fox a little bit younger?
1 year older. So, yeah, De'Aaron was taken in 2017. And the next year, Luka was taken. And they said, Marvin, we already have De'Aaron. We're going to take Marvin Bagley.
Marvin Bagley. That's right. 25-6-5 for De'Aaron Fox this year. Last year, 26. The year before, 25. He's a stud. A lot of people were trying to get, well, we're not trying to. No one gives a crap. Sorry, the one Tolo in Sacramento, ring the bell. People were trying to figure out why Mike Brown got run and were the handprints and fingerprints of De'Aaron Fox all over that.
Well, and that's, you know, we have coach killers all throughout the league. And, you know, the NBA, you're not going to get, no sport, you're not going to get rid of the player. you could just recycle the coach very, very easily.
The NBA does not want De'Aaron Fox out of Sacramento because now you would have negative reasons to watch them.
No reason. No reason to watch.
It'd be a dream for him to go to San Antonio for the NBA, though.
I mean, they would maybe team him and Wemby up. And, you know, who'd they get there? They got the Kentucky kid in the offseason and then the draft. That would be potentially, you know, a really good young squad.
25? Okay.
He's been in the league almost 8 years. He's only 25.
Yeah, he's good. He is good. All right, what is going on with this breaking news story that took over the world last night?
All right, so this is in D.C., and this regional jet, it was an American regional jet. It's actually technically PSA that runs it, but then they subsidize it through American.
Such an aviator nerd. PSA, public service announcement? What
that's
are you talking
right.
about?
No, it's like Envoy or PSA. They operate under the brand of American. They do it like Delta.
Anyway.
It's across the river. If you've ever flown into Reagan Airport, it's on the river. And like the runway is at the end of the river. It's on the other side. It's about ready to land. It's seconds from touching down. And this military helicopter, the Black Hawk, comes on from the other side and collides with it. And it goes right into the Potomac, which almost 40-something years to the day that Air Florida plane crashed into it because it didn't had ice on its wings. And they fear that everybody on there is dead. 64 passengers and crew, and then 3 soldiers in the Black Hawk. They don't know if the Black Hawk was carrying like dignitaries or anything. At least I haven't heard anything about that yet. But they do say that on this plane, this American Airlines flight, was a bunch of like figure skating championship hopefuls.
Wow.
So like kind of like, you know, junior Olympians. That, I mean, obviously it's terrible anyway, but, you know, now that adds another wrinkle to it. And then there's talk of people were texting their loved ones. That's how close to the ground they were, is that the phone started working again. And they're texting their loved ones, say, we were about to land, and nothing. There's videos, dash cam photos that have come out that we're seeing. We saw one last night, but now we have several more that have come out this morning. Got to get a dash cam, by the way. But it's just so scary. The fact that you don't expect this. Like you're on final approach. There should be no aircraft in the area. And the military helicopter absolutely has to take the fault. The preliminary has to take the fault for this. I mean, you can't be in the landing zone, the final approach zone.
So how could this have happened? You stayed up an extra 3 hours watching coverage of this?
Yeah, it was because they didn't have a lot of information about them, but they did, like, towards the end of the night, around 11 o'clock, they released some air traffic control audio, and they kept saying to the Black Hawk helicopter, hey, you've got this flight. Do you have visual? Do you have visual of the plane? And they're like, yeah, we got it. But now they think that they had visual of a different plane, because at the same time, there was a plane taking off, and they were in the way that the helicopter was coming. It was coming towards the airport, and then it was going to go around it. And they think it caught the plane that took off, because just as this thing collided, you see a plane in the foreground that was making a turn that had already taken off. And that's the speculation now. We don't really have much more information than that.
Pepe, were you following this last night? I think you were the first one to send it over.
I saw it briefly before I went to sleep. There was nothing really out there about anyone that had died or anything like that. I just was like, oh, was it on the runway? I didn't see much video about it. But yeah, this is real scary. I mean, I have a brother out there who lives in Washington, D.C., so immediately the family's texting, make sure everything's okay with him. I'm not sure how far his apartment is away from the airport, but it seemed like he was safe and everything.
They got this one, it's heartbreaking, some people getting mad at the network for it, but they got this one guy in the airport, like, going through his cell phone. He's, like, reading the text messages from the wife, who is talking to him as the plane is expected to land, and his final message was, I just hope they are fishing her out of the river. I hope there's some way. And then, of course, it's freezing there in the water on top of it in case there is any type of chance or hope.
And that's like, if you watch, there's countless videos of that flight in 1982 where these people are like being fished out of the water in with ice, little mini icebergs floating by them in the river. It's tragic. And like you said, it's freezing out. People are saying that the helicopter was flying completely dark, had no lights on, so even the plane wouldn't have been able to see it. I thought I saw some lights on it, because as you see it fly by, you could see some lights on the helicopter before it collides.
And there's video of this? There's
a couple videos out there of it. Yeah, it's not hard to find. It's just right on Twitter.
And you just see like a little explosion.
You see a little tiny explosion, then you see them both go towards the river.
So right now, the known victims from the U.S. figure skating team, what eerie timing. Tanya Harding, for some reason, was trending this morning. Pepe, do you know who Tanya Harding is?
Dear God.
I don't think so.
No. Reema stood up. Reema's looking in there like, Jake, thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you know? Okay, at least Jake knows Tanya Harding, the disgraced figure skater. I guess she figured out how to use Twitter.
She did. She did figure out how to use Twitter.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah, take a look at her.
I'm looking. Yeah. She looked like she about 4 Marlboro Red packs in per day.
Yeah, she does, man. She's like, she's keeping with the bit. She is keeping with
She's out in the woods right there with her reputation. The bit.
Yeah, she's keeping with the bit.
Well, what is the bit?
Just like that she's like the kind of the rough girl. She keeps smoking her cigs.
I wanted to hear you how you were going to explain it.
She's just got like that attitude to her. But yeah, she's on Twitter. So, hello, Twitter world.
Yes. Don't invoke that. 877-881-1053. The way to hit us up on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. A couple of other basketball notes. Caitlin Clark is not going to participate in the NBA 3-point shootout like they had your son's idol.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Yes.
Which, like, that was cool, you know, because it's like it's her versus Steph.
Yeah. That was the highlight of the All-Star weekend.
It really was. Now, was Caitlin going to take Sabrina's place, or was she going to be in addition to Sabrina?
So there's two different explanations for this. Thank goodness Bobby is not in here today to make his little sideswipe comments towards Caitlin Clark.
You like that?
The big headline and explanation is she wants to do it in Indianapolis. Her first All-Star appearance in front of her home crowd, hopefully without the stalker from Denton there. But the internet rumor that I don't give as much credence to is that she didn't want to do it off of a ball rack. That Caitlin's warm-up and shooting routine is catch and shoot. And she didn't want to grab it off the ball rack in order to fire up the threes. I don't know. That's just something that is making the rounds out there, and I can already see your eye rolling.
Yeah. I mean, it's good enough for everybody else. If you're a great shooter, you think Larry Bird cared if it was on the ball rack? Larry didn't even care what side of the ball rack he was on.
Yeah, he didn't care what jacket he was wearing while doing it.
He wore a warm-up jacket. He's like, I'll just go out there and... I mean, who's coming in second? Who's coming in second?
Yes.
If you're that great, you don't need a ball rack. You don't need someone throwing it to you. Just get out there and shoot it.
I'm going to keep the mystique of Caitlin Clark alive and choose to believe she just wanted to do it in front of her home fans first in Indianapolis.
And is Indianapolis? But hang on a second. Didn't Indy do it last year? I think Indy hosted it last year.
Did they? We got to have the next 2 or 3 years of where it's going to be. I believe this year is in California.
It's at San Fran. That's right. That's where that's because Charles Barkley was like, I'm not going there.
Right.
Yeah, last year was in Indy.
No.
Yeah. So next year is going to be at the new Intuit Dome.
Okay.
The Clippers. And then Phoenix. And then we don't have anything else. Oh. What is the name? What is the name of the Phoenix Suns Arena?
I have no idea.
The Footprint Center.
Hmm.
Never heard of that. I had no idea. But yeah, it was just in Indy last year.
All right. What do you do when your kids are complaining of boredom? I'm having that happen in my house as we speak. And you want to go on this all meat diet? Be wary of having cholesterol hands. Peyton Russell has it in the payload. Thursday edition, 6 a.m. Club is next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is another Thursday, 6:40. You know what time it is. It's the payload, baby, right here. No Bobby Bell in studio, but the show must go on.
Oh, I think Bobby woke up in Houston just for this. He's already texting us.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, why the heck are you awake? You know he's going to be listening at 7:40 as you take over the neighborhood watch for him as well.
Oh, I guess he wanted to catch the payload. He's missed it a couple times already this year. He was out already. Mm-hmm. Is that allowed? I mean, he's taken, what, 7-8 days already off, and it's not even February yet.
He loves to bust your balls for taking off Mondays when you're working 12-hour cowboy days. I guess he is as well. That's why he's bitter. He'd been going after RJ's vacation schedule, and now here he is. He just missed a lot of time. Now he's taking more days off.
He did. You know, he did a good job during football season, right? Not taking a whole lot of time off, but you know, January counts. You know, January's a good month.
Well, guys, you are what you eat. That's what they all say, right?
Ah, baby.
You know, Sean's big into the meat. RJ, you're big into the, yeah. Sorry. It's not always good.
I try to be the nicest one to you, and you backhand me.
No, it wasn't a bad. No.
Below the belt.
Everyone has a food out there that you tell yourself, look, I can eat that forever. You know, I never actually try it. You know, you never think you're actually going to
But once with your parents, and I feel like each parent, one time in your childhood, dares you and is like, all right, we're going to do it now. I want pizza every day. And they're like, okay, fine. You're going to get it every single day. Did you ever pull that? You know, sometimes I think about it with crab cakes. I'm like, I could eat this every day. A shrimp cocktail or shrimp, I could eat this every day. You would get sick of anything.
Yeah, I wasn't a terribly picky eater. We just didn't have a broad menu.
Yeah.
We had basically it was Italian food every night. My kids, though, my younger one, it's either chicken nuggets or Red Baron pizza. And it has to be Red Baron.
Red Baron.
Won't be anything else.
What is it about Red Baron that he
I have no idea. I just think he likes the way it's...
Cheese, pepperoni?
Pepperoni. Yeah, he gets pepperoni.
And he's a string bean. Skinny.
Super skinny. Super skinny.
Still not drinking soda or sugar or juice?
He'll have Gatorade, but zero. Gatorade zero. Sugar free.
Is he like body conscious?
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's like, I gotta have my abs. I want my abs. And I'm like, well, the pizza ain't helping, but it doesn't affect him yet. It will someday.
And Luca as an eater?
You know, he branched out to Frosted Flakes this week. That was kind of cool. By the way, I forgot how good they are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just loaded with sugar.
In college, it was pizza rolls for me. I'd come home from class 11:30, and then straight to the oven for pizza rolls. But look, this is a man in Florida. Nothing good happens in Florida nowadays, apparently.
Oven in college, okay.
This guy in Florida, he went on a carnivore diet where he says he ate, and I got a picture of the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube here in a second. I don't want to leave it up there too long because I know it's disgusting to look at. I'll try and throw it up there for a little bit, but... This guy says he ate 6 to 9 pounds of butter, cheese, and hamburgers every day for 8 months straight. I have no idea how this guy is still living.
Keto.
But I guess you can do that. And ironically, he ended up in the hospital because he developed yellow lumps on his hand of cholesterol all over his hands. Now, for the radio audience, I'll explain this where it's like you look down your hands real quick and just think of like butter coming up out of your hands. That's what it is. And look, I'll put the picture up on the YouTube right now. I'll leave it up there for a little bit. But like... You know, Sean, RJ, when you see this on your screen, tell me what you see here. I mean, this is just absolutely disgusting. I never knew this could actually happen. You eat something and you turn into it, basically. I mean, it looks like a fictional character.
Ew, that's kind of gross.
He told the doctors he got diet advice from the internet. Go figure. You know, you always believe what you see on the internet.
Well, this diet has been around forever.
The high fat, high protein diet.
Yeah, did you ever think about it or what's your take on it?
Keto? I don't know. I just the high fat aspect like scares me.
Yeah, cholesterol, gout.
Yeah, that scares me. Like you know, the what's it called? Not the Neanderthal diet. Paleo, right? The caveman diet.
Is that the guy who got caught as a scammer, eating all the raw meat?
That's a Liver King.
A Liver King.
The caveman diet is like you just eat what like our ancestors would have had, just nothing but like no processed anything, just meat and like stuff from the ground.
Yeah.
I could get down with that. The over butter fat stuff, I don't know, man. That sounds...
The butter freaks me out because if I have a little bit of butter, I mean, my stomach is hurting like the very next day.
On one of the 90-day fiancés, this trainer, this dude is all jacked and ripped. He's sitting there during the commercial breaks and he brings out a stick of butter and eats it as a snack. A cold stick of butter.
That's disgusting.
And he's on that type of diet.
What's worse, that or that is, I would do that over the mayo though. The people who just eat mayo out of the bowl.
Do they just eat mayo?
I see it happen.
Who's the quarterback that puts in his coffee?
Will Levis.
Yep.
This is gross.
Yeah, I think Walchek being tried as a G-bag bet payoff. I don't get it. But look, I mean, it worked out for him for a little bit. He said he lost weight. He became more energetic. Maybe it's something to try. He had more mental clarity as well.
I'm Googling hydrogen water. I want to try the hydrogen water. I've heard it has like good effects on like your body.
Hydrogen water?
You could buy these mugs that like pumps hydrogen into it. I don't know how it makes it, but I've heard it's good. Good for like Parkinson's and helping you out. I got to do anything. I'm about to turn into my old man.
What's that?
Vegetable?
Oh, for Parkinson's?
For any kind of cognitive issue. I'm not turning into him.
Peyton, you never went with just like an all-meat diet? You're just going to do the eggs, meat, and butter, and vegetables, and no carbs?
You know, in college, there was something, because my roommate would do like meal preps for like, you know, the gym, and so he would just do like either ground beef chicken and then rice. And so I did that for lunch, you know, throw a little peppers, onions on there as well. I did that straight for lunch for like a couple months straight, but it's like, you know, I get so bored with eating the same thing over and over again. I have to switch it up. I'll get hooked onto one thing. Like one week, it was like, I think it was 2 weeks earlier last year, I was into like bagels, just bagels. So I'd have like bagels and cream cheese in the morning at night. Like I was just into it. I was always eating that as like my snack.
Yeah.
But then after 2 weeks, I'm done with it. Can't have it ever again.
Yeah.
You know, so I get tired of stuff really easily. But here and there, but I never went on like an actual diet or anything like that. Never got any advice from the internet. But guys, it's the payload of a Thursday at this time. Sean, kids are bored nowadays. They're bored. Oh, the technology, it doesn't help the situation anymore. You have a four-year-old, five-year-old now?
Yeah, he'll be five in July. I'm having a hard time remembering their birthdays. I got dad brain. July 6th, he'll be five. That's his little calling card. That's what he tries to throw at us when he wants to get something. I'm bored.
Right.
And you know, my response is, find something to do. That's what his mom says. Find something. There's 50,000 toys in here. Right? We've been playing with you, but that's his thing. Whether he wants to get to his grandmother, he wants to go do something else, he wants to go outside. I'm bored now. I'm bored. You've been home for 30 minutes. You've been playing at school. You've been running around outside. Tough. But figure it out. Here's a puzzle. Throw nine puzzle pieces together at him. But yeah, that's what they try to do. I'm bored.
And we've never had more things that are at our disposal. You know, you want to know what it was like when we were kids? It's like, just give me your phone and go outside.
There was no phone.
Yeah, there was no phone.
We had no phone.
Yeah, give me your phone. I'll take that. Give me your Game Boy or your whatever they call it, the PlayStation. Go outside.
So do parents not, and I'm not a parent. I'm not trying to parent your kids or anyone out there, kids. But any Tolos that have, you know, that have kids, 877-881-1053, Frankel Injuries Attorney text line. Do parents not force their kids to go outside anymore? Is it not like a strict, like, all right, you're home from school, do your homework, now get outside. Go play with the neighbors, go do something. Is that not how we're raising kids anymore?
They, like Julian will go outside and shoot hoops like that.
Yeah.
Parents don't want their kids outside, it seems. Like, it's, like, too dangerous now. They're
right.
Scared.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
We got a coyote. Coyotes running crazy in Sunnyvale. They look like mountain lions, apparently. I don't even know if I believe it.
You got your mountain lion pee. That'll help them.
That's right. That'll draw them.
Maybe.
That'll draw them on over. I think they're going to try to hook up in my backyard. No, with my little man, we got the indoor basketball Nerf thing so far, but that's my big parenting resolution for 2025, outdoor sports. I got to get him outside and do some outdoor sports, whether it's hitting off the tee. We got the little mini basketball that he got for Christmas outside. That's what we have to do around here. I just don't want him to melt.
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah, it gets hot.
It's really hot.
It gets really, really hot.
Because when I was growing up, it was like, because phones were like there, but I didn't really get into the whole iPad video game thing till like, you know, seventh, eighth grade. But social media was always a way for me to bypass time. And now kids these days who are in high school, even, you know, middle school, junior high, like they're saying social media doesn't do it. They get on TikTok for an hour or so and they go through the video and they're like, I'm bored with this too. It's like no matter what you give them, they're getting bored at. So thoughts and prayers to the youth out there.
I was so bitter at my parents. We lived out in the country, probably like 15, 20 minutes away from the city. Town, Amanda makes fun of me when I go, yeah, we're going to, even when we're driving to Dallas, I go, you want to go into town? Like, you want to go go into the city?
Yeah, go to the
you
city.
Know, like I'm living on Staten Island.
Go to Easton.
And if we just had, good job. I just wanted to be near the community basketball court. There was one court in the middle of town. Mm-hmm. There was tennis courts. And that was a dream. You drop me off there and pick me up like 5 or 6 hours later. All your buddies are out there. All the competition, all the trash talk, all the gossiping. So when I think of that whenever I drive by a community basketball court now, or just if you could find a random field, You just go and play 3-on-3 soccer. Yep. You can sit there and play flag football. Every year, Super Bowl, I hosted the Super Bowl party in middle school and high school, and we had like 20 kids over to play football. We played football game every year before. We'd go out during halftime, watch the game, everyone go home, but give us a field, give us a court. I feel like I'm talking like an old geezer.
Elliot says, I'm scared to send my kids outside. I don't know where they'll go. Some creep will grab
them. This is my wife. This is going to be a fight with my wife. You know, we try to live in a gated neighborhood. Try to live in a corner, have a cul-de-sac. It's still not going to matter. It's still my paranoid father and father-in-law. Well, where's that back trail? There's a walking trail. Can a car get through that? No. Like, barely two people can get through it. This baby carriage, someone can't come the other way. That's the first thing they think of. Oh, get a car, like a helicopter, swoop in and pick them up and take them on over to Irving. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. High school chemistry teacher in Mansfield letting y'all know our current high school generation has an attention span of about 7 seconds.
Yeah.
It's very, very true. Mike in New York, I listen on the Odyssey app. My kids treat a Wi-Fi outage like they're subjected to third world conditions.
And that's what saved me was when I was younger, we had the cul-de-sac. My parents were in the cul-de-sac, and so we had, you know, neighbors to the left and right.
Look at you.
We had, like, you know, teams of, like, 6-on-6 in baseball. We'd play, like, wiffle ball because everyone, all the parents in our cul-de-sac had kids around my age.
Yeah. I got a positive and a negative. I think there's a lot of Indian people in my neighborhood, so my kid could be, you know, the best in the neighborhood, but may not even have anyone to go out and play sports against. Hey, you want to get this chess tournament over here? You want to meet up?
What are the big sports in India?
Chess.
That's it? Cricket.
Oh, you mean cricket, soccer.
Soccer,
but I don't know how many flag football tournaments will be taking place in my neighborhood.
There is a match.
Shout out, Skip.
Every Saturday morning, between like, not even morning, all day, from like 8 a.m. to like sundown, there is a massive cricket game about a mile from me. There's hundreds of people that show up every Saturday.
Cricket?
Yes.
Wow. It's the payload with Philip Russell. Well done, Pepe. Bobby, hopefully you approve. He's actually waking up early to get ready for the Shrine game. Shrine game responsibilities. The kid does not stop working. Thanks for being a Tolo. That's my brother just texted. Tell him how you would send me over the middle. I forgot that. I know. That didn't happen.
Hospital balls all over the place.
I'm like, yo, he's Antonio Brown. You're perfect. And that's probably what happened to my brother. Got rewired upstairs because I sent him over the middle. Thanks for being a Tolo. In order to thank you for being part of the 6 a.m. Club, we have a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway. Stephen Jones, did he get a do-over for the quotes at the Senior Bowl? Stephen, with a 2.0 for the quotations. And Stephen A. Smith, he says the Cowboy fans have all gone away. We'll take you inside the Star with some new additions to the coaching staff and Will McClay Extended next.